The cyber breaches at the Office of Personnel Management kicked Congress into high gear about making cybersecurity a policy, a priority for agencies. As hacking becomes a bigger threat, agencies may soon follow the private sector by looking at insurance to keep cyber protocols in check. Alana Breutman is a shareholder at Greenberg Traurig and former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manufacturing and Industrial-Based Policy, writing about what drives good cyber hygiene for the New America Foundation. Alana, it's terrific to have you back on the program. Thank you very much for coming on today and for calling my attention to this piece. What message did you want to put out in general before we get to the details of what you're writing? Thanks for your time today, Alana.
Well, thank you, Francis. It's really good to be on. I think that the private market, for the most part, will drive better cyber hygiene for the private market. But there's a lot that the legislature and the executive branch can do to promote better cyber hygiene and to make way for the market incentives that are going to drive the mid-sized companies to have better cyber tools at their disposal.
You write in this piece about what drives cyber hygiene, and you use a couple examples of the Securities and Exchange Commission, cybersecurity examinations among its 2015 priorities, HIPAA requirements, mandating database security, and others. Those are some legislative and executive branch examples. Are there others? Are we seeing, and what trends are we seeing in that area, Alana?
Sure. Well, the Defense Department, of course, has done its bit. A couple of years ago, it put out a directive or a rule to require better cyber security for unclassified information. Just this summer, it put out other additional rules with respect to the DIB and cybersecurity and the security of cloud-based computing. And so we are seeing specific agents, and then the FTC has also started to take a closer look at cybersecurity as well. All of these mandates or investigations, of course, are going to drive greater attention and greater requirements for cybersecurity. But when you look at the broad marketplace in the United States, it doesn't really work that way. You can't really legislate market requirements in the same way that a procurement authority like the Defense Department can do that for their own contractors. And so that's why I looked at what can Congress do to actually shape the market to allow for such incentives. And, you know, traditionally, insurance has been a terrific incentivizing vehicle in a couple of different ways. One, it helps to offset risk and cost so that it's feasible for businesses to take on more precautions. Two, it provides the incentive that if you do take those precautions, you're able to avail yourself of the insurance policy that will protect you from lawsuits and will address your losses in the future. So that's why I looked at the insurance market as a real opportunity. The insurance market for cyber is still quite small when compared to the global or even the U.S. Insurance market as a whole. So there's definitely room for growth. So I do see some trends, to summarize, in the government requiring better cybersecurity from their niche, their business sector niche, because they can, SEC, DOD, that sort of thing. But I think for the vast majority of businesses, it's really how do we help the market shape itself?
The cyber insurance market is not only small, as you say, it's also very, very fluid and still immature, it strikes me. I read recently, I believe, that in 2016, cyber insurance premiums are expected to increase by well into the double digits after essentially being flat this year and last. And so it strikes me that a source of that uncertainty is the fact that we haven't really seen Congress on a path to any kind of cybersecurity finality in the last at least half decade. I mean, we've talked about any number of different formats on this program for legislation regarding cybersecurity, Alana.
So I think Congress can do quite a bit. When I've talked to insurance providers, they really cite a couple of things. One, how do you measure risk by business sector? So it's not just overall risk, but how do you look at one particular type of critical infrastructure versus another, maybe consumer-based business, and how do you evaluate? So that's difficult. And I do think Congress can help there by providing or redirecting funding toward more research so that The NIST framework, for example, could be accompanied by deep research that helps to provide that evidence to the insurance companies, because that all the documentation of that is just not yet available from the private sector. The other thing, if companies demand it, then insurance providers will provide it. Now, the more agencies like DoD demand evaluate cybersecurity as a positive in a procurement, the more at least the defense companies and their subcontractors will look to do more in cybersecurity and therefore drive demand. But that's just not going to be possible everywhere. So I think it's going to be a complementary approach where Congress can push some things along, and then the private market just has to grow of its own accord as well.
Ilana Breutman of Greenberg Traurig, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense. You make a great point in this piece for the New America Foundation that we have linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You write, what has most stalled cybersecurity legislation have been philosophical debates and the absence of a simple policy solution that overcomes criticisms. The simple policy solution we've discussed to some degree. I want to quote another line about the philosophical issue. Privacy concerns have aligned members of Congress along philosophical rather than partisan lines. And that strikes me as what's driving this lack of clarity for the people who would be interested in seeing a solution, as you've outlined it, Ilana, because it's not a typical Republican versus Democrat, we think this and they think that situation.
Absolutely. You end up having major privacy concerns in both parties, and that's been around for a while. It was clearly exacerbated after Snowden made his revelations, and as we saw in the difficulty of even passing the USA Freedom Act in the Senate, which was, of course, something that had been negotiated down from the Patriot Act. These are very live concerns, and while cybersecurity as security is not sort of a, quote, kitchen table issue, you know, people talk about the need for security, but it's not what voters vote on. Privacy does seem to generate quite a bit of voter interest. So the way those get balanced in among, you know, the representatives of all those voters is that privacy has gotten much greater emphasis possibly than cybersecurity in some of the debates. And so, and because, you know, the point I'm making about there not being an easy solution, it's hard to legislate nuances. And for example, when you write that you can share, when you write an authority to share cybersecurity identifying information with the government, that in some cases may capture personally identifying information. For example, if you're trying to share that this was a spoofing email, you may in fact have to share a little bit about what was in the message that attracted attention. And that's what makes people nervous, because it opens the door to potentially sharing privacy data. I don't think there's necessarily bad intention on either side. It's just difficult to craft that nuanced line between privacy and cybersecurity.
You write in this piece that you believe the 114th Congress is the best opportunity in a long time at getting cybersecurity legislation through. You cite the OPM breach and some other issues. And you write, the information sharing, liability protection, and other sections of the bill are positive steps for incentivizing good cyber hygiene. Is it? Do you see anything in that bill that worries you that it's too prescriptive, Ilana?
I think that the bill, you know, there are nuances between the Senate and the House and also the Intelligence Committees and the Homeland Security Committees. I think that they're pretty close to striking the right balance, and I believe that if we actually get to a bill, it'll look closest to the House Homeland Security version rather than the Intel versions, for example, because it'll be more narrowly defined. We'll see if that happens. You know, we're getting closer and closer to end of session. There are major bills to pass, and I thought we were much closer earlier this summer. And you know, as usual, it's difficult with the press of other business and the press of politics to get things done. And I'm a little worried now that cybersecurity will fall to that again. But I do think that the environment is ripe.
The good news is we still have a whole nother year in the 114th Congress for your prediction to come true, right?
That's right. Let's bet on this.
Thank you very much for coming on. It's great to talk to you again. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Francis.